Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman, member by Avram Goldar, and today Masechet Gittin, Daf Yud Beis. The first parak maybe get. The Zichud Masechet Gittin program has been generously sponsored by Zichud Nishmas Chaya Hadas Basender. So the three Dafs are going to focus on number one, in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. The Chachamim argue that freedom is only a benefit for a slave, and it's not considered a loss of support because the master is not required to feed him. The Gemara says, we learn from this, Yachol Rav Lomer LaEved, Asei Mi Veini Zoncha, that a master can tell a slave, work for me, but I will not feed you. Rather, we'll have to ask residents for food. This proof is deflected because the Mishnah can be speaking, where the master said, Se Mas Yadecho Mazon Asecho, let your earnings be your food, and only then is he exempt from feeding him. The Gemara wonders why the same would not apply to one's wife, whose divorce is considered detrimental due to lost support, and answers that the Mishnah's case is b'do asafka. She does not produce enough for her needs, and the husband must pay the difference. A slave, however, who consumes more than he produces, does not require the master to pay for the difference. Point number two, after proving that Rav holds one cannot require a slave to work without feeding him, the Gemara proves that Rabbi Yochanan holds that he can. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Akote yad avdo shel chavero, one who cuts off the hand of his friend's slave, noisen shifto refuah sola rabo, gives compensation for his lost work during his recovery and healing expenses to his master. These are two of the payments made whenever one injures another person. Voso evan nizon minat staka, and that slave is fed from staka. Even though the master is being compensated for the slave's lost work, he's not required to feed him. This proves that Rabbi Yochanan holds one can require a slave to work without feeding him." The Gemara wonders why the medical expenses are paid to the master since they're needed to heal the slave. It answers that the cases where the slave was estimated to require 5 days of treatment and was given powerful medication that healed him in 3 days at a lower cost, but with greater suffering. Rabbi Yochanan taught that even compensation for such suffering is awarded to the master, not the slave. And point number three, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir said that freedom includes a disadvantage for the slave because a Kohen slave can eat truma until he is freed. In a Brisa, when the Chachamim answered that the master does not have to feed him at all, Rabbi Meir responded, "Ma ilu evad kohen shebarach ve'eshes kohen shemarda abala." But what would be if a Kohen slave ran away, or Kohen's wife rebelled and fled? Halo ochem betruma, are they not able to eat truma? They are. V'zeh ein ochem, but this slave cannot eat truma if he's freed through someone's acquiring the get shichur for him, so it's detrimental to him. The Gemara explains, although the master need not feed him, the slave is permitted to eat any truma he receives, which is easier to obtain. Although the master could theoretically throw a get shichur to the slave, forcing his freedom and loss of truma, but he can flee and avoid the get and continue to eat truma, so his freedom does cause a loss. The next off explains the disadvantage of freedom for a Yisrael slave, according to Rabbi Meir. So once again, the 3 points are number one in the Mishnah Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. The Chachamim argued that freedom is only a benefit for a slave, and it's not considered a loss of support because the master is not required to feed him. The Gemara says, we learn from this, Yachol Rav Lomer LaEved, Asei Mi Veini Zoncha, that a master can tell a slave, work for me, but I will not feed you. Rather, we'll have to ask residents for food. This proof is deflected because the Mishnah can be speaking, where the master said, Se Mas Yadecho Mazon Asecho, let your earnings be your food, and only then is he exempt from feeding him. The Gemara wonders why the same would not apply to one's wife, whose divorce is considered detrimental due to lost support, and answers that the Mishnah's case is b'do asafka. She does not produce enough for her needs, and the husband must pay the difference. A slave, however, who consumes more than he produces, does not require the master to pay for the difference. Point number two, after proving that Rav holds one cannot require a slave to work without feeding him, the Gemara proves that Rabbi Yochanan holds that he can. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Akote yad avdo shel chavero, one who cuts off the hand of his friend's slave, noisen shifto refuah sola rabo, gives compensation for his lost work during his recovery and healing expenses to his master. These are two of the payments made whenever one injures another person. Voso evan nizon minat staka, and that slave is fed from staka. Even though the master is being compensated for the slave's lost work, he's not required to feed him. This proves that Rabbi Yochanan holds one can require a slave to work without feeding him. The Gemara wonders why the medical expenses are paid to the master since they're needed to heal the slave. It answers the cases where the slave was estimated to require 5 days of treatment and was given powerful medication that healed him in 3 days at a lower cost, but with greater suffering. Rabbi Yochanan taught that even compensation for such suffering is awarded to the master, not the slave. And point number three, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir said that freedom includes a disadvantage for the slave because a Kohen slave can eat truma until he is freed. In a Brisa, when the Chachamim answered that the master does not have to feed him at all, Rabbi Meir responded, "Ma ilu evad kohen shebarach ve'eshes kohen shemarda abala." But what would be if a Kohen slave ran away, or Kohen's wife rebelled and fled? Halo ochem betruma, are they not able to eat truma? They are. V'zeh ein ochem, but this slave cannot eat truma if he's freed through someone's acquiring the get shichur for him, so it's detrimental to him. The Gemara explains, although the master need not feed him, the slave is permitted to eat any truma he receives, which is easier to obtain. Although the master could theoretically throw a get shichur to the slave, forcing his freedom and loss of Truma, but he can flee and avoid the get and continue to eat Truma, so his freedom does cause a loss. The next daf explains the disadvantage of freedom for a Yisrael slave, according to Rabbi Meir. All right, so now we get our siman daf Yud Beis, and our standard siman is 12 brothers. 12 brothers, so here goes. The 12 slave brothers wearing green work clothes, who were offended when their master told them to let their earnings be their food, and then were outraged when he said he was keeping the medical expenses that someone paid for cutting off one of the brothers' hands, decided to run away before their kohen master freed them and caused them a loss of Terumah. The 12 slave brothers, 12 brothers, that must be one daf Yud Beis. The 12 slave brothers wearing green work clothes, who were offended when their master told them to let their earnings be their food, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses whether one can force a slave to work without feeding him and say, let your earnings be your food. So the 12 slave brothers wearing green work clothes were offended when their master told them to let their earnings be their food, and then were outraged when he said he was keeping the medical expenses that someone paid for cutting off one of the brothers' hands, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Akotei yad avdo shel chavero, one who cuts off the hand of his friend's slaves, noisin shiftel rufua solo rabo, gives compensation for his lost work during his recovery and healing expenses to the master, but also evid nizom min tzedaka, and that slave is fed from charity. Even though the master is being compensated for the slave's lost work, he's not required to feed him." This proves that Rabbi Yochanan holds one can require a slave to work without feeding him. The case was where the slave was estimated to require 5 days of treatment and was given powerful medication that healed him in 3 days at a lower cost, but with greater suffering. Rabbi Yochanan taught that even compensation for such suffering is awarded to the master, not the slave. So the 12 slave brothers wearing green work clothes who were offended when their master told them to let their earnings be their food, and then were outraged when he said he was keeping the medical expenses that someone paid for cutting off one of the brothers' hands, decided to run away before their kohen master freed them and caused them a loss of Terumah. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings Rabbi Meir's argument that freeing a slave causes him a loss of Terumah. So once again, the 12 slave brothers wearing green work clothes were offended when their master told them to let their earnings be their food, and then were outraged when he said he was keeping the medical expenses that someone paid for cutting off one of the brothers' hands, decided to run away before the kohen master freed them and caused them a loss of Terumah. All right, so now it's time for four Balabach Chazara. Daf Ches. So the simmer Daf Ches is Challah. So here goes. The baker on the boat in the Mediterranean Sea baking green challah is Challah's baker. That must be on Daf Ches. The baker on the boat in the Mediterranean Sea baking green challahs, as Gittin were being written, which reminds us, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak offered another explanation for the opposing prices about a get brought in a boat. The argument doesn't concern the rivers of Eretz Yisrael, which would not require Befani Nechtav, but the Yam HaGadol, the Mediterranean Sea, and a Malchokas is brought regarding which islands in the Mediterranean Sea are considered part of Eretz Yisrael. So the baker on the boat in the Mediterranean Sea baking green challahs, as Gittin were being written, got a call from a friend who ordered challahs to celebrate his purchase of a field in Syria, where the shtar was written by a goy on Shabbos, which reminds us, a braisa teaches that Syria, areas of Syria conquered by David HaMelech, has some halachos of Eretz Yisrael, including one who acquires a field in Syria is like one who acquires in the provinces of Yerushalayim. Rav Sheshes explains a practical application, that the document of sale may be written by a goy even on Shabbos if the seller, a Gentile, is departing on Shabbos. Even though Amir La'akum telling an idolater to do malacha on Shabbos is normally a shvus, a rabbinic prohibition, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael will gazu rabban. Because in the mitzvah of settling Eretz Yisrael, the rabbis did not apply the decree to this case. So the baker on the boat in the Mediterranean Sea baking green challahs, as Gittin were being written, got a call from a friend who ordered challahs to celebrate his purchase of a field in Syria where the shtar was written by a goy on Shabbos, and to cheer up his Eved who didn't acquire his master's possessions when he acquired himself. Which reminds us, the Braisa teaches that an Eved who brings his Get Shichrur, his emancipation document which states, Atzmecha v'nechasai k'nuyim lach, yourself and my possessions are hereby acquired to you, and he says, Befani Nechtav as required, Atzmokana nechasim mokana. He acquires himself and goes free, but does not acquire the possessions. His testimony is not accepted regarding the monetary aspect of the document, which requires two witnesses. The Gemara asks about a document which states, Kol nechasai k'nuyim lach, all my possessions are acquired to you, which includes himself as one of the master's possessions. Dav Tes, so the simmer Dav Tes is a teapot. So here goes. When the Eved dropped a green teapot, that must mean we're on Dav Tes, teapot. When the Abbot dropped the green teapot when he discovered he wasn't freed, since Lav Krus Gitahu, the separation between the slave and master, wasn't clear in the document, which reminds us, Reb Meir says, a Kosef kol nechasav l'avdo yatz ben chorin. One writes over all his possessions to his Abbot, he goes free because he's included in the master's possession. Shi'ar karka koshu lo yatz ben chorin. If the master retained land of any size for himself, he doesn't go free. Rav Ashi explains Reb Meir to say, Mishum de Lav Krus Gitahu, because the separation between the slave and master is not clear in the document. Reb Meir holds that even if the master did identify the retained property, the slave doesn't go free because this retention suggests the possibility that he means to retain the slave as well. This remote possibility disqualifies the get as lacking its requisite clarity. So when the Eved dropped the green teapot when he discovered he wasn't freed, since Lav Krus Gitahu, the separation between the slave and master wasn't clear in the document, green tea splashed all over blank paper etched for Edim who didn't know how to sign a woman's get, which reminds us, it was taught in Brice that Edim who do not know how to sign, we etch a blank paper for them with their names, and the Edim fill the etches with ink. Rav Shimon Gamliel says this is only valid for getting of women, but not for any other documents, including a get shichur. A special leniency was granted to protect women from becoming agunos if they're pressed for time and cannot obtain better witnesses. So when the Eved dropped the green teapot when he discovered he wasn't freed, since Lav Krus Gitahu, the separation between the slave and master, wasn't clear in the document, green tea splashed all over blank paper etched for Edim who didn't know how to sign a woman's get. Just as someone rushed into the room to sadly inform the woman their husband died and that her get would be no good, nor would other documents. Which reminds us, the Braisa does not include as one of the similarities between a get Isha and get Shichur that they cannot be given after Misa, after death, because this rule applies to other documents and is not exclusive to them. Daf Yudov, so the Simmer Daf Yudov is stars based on the 11 stars in Yosef's dream. So here goes. The stargazer Kyle McDonald III, who liked to sign his distinct Goyish name on Staros, surrounded by 11 green stars. 11 stars? That must be on Daf Yudov, stars. The stargazer Kyle McDonald III, who liked to sign his distinct Goyish name on Staros, surrounded by 11 green stars, which reminds us. The Gemara in the previous daf explained that Rabbi Shimon considers a get signed by idolaters valid, because he holds like Rabbi Elazar that Edi Masirakarti, the witnesses to delivery, enable the get to sever the marital bond even without signatures. The Gemara said a document which is Mezuyah Matoko, internally faulty, is invalid, even though no signatures were necessary. This is because of a concern that people may come to use the signed witnesses for the delivery as well, for which they're not qualified. The Gemara answers b'shemus muvhakin. The Mishnah refers to signatures of distinct names, meaning obviously Gentile names. People know they're not valid witnesses and will not rely on them. So the stargazer Kyle McDonald III, who liked to sign his distinct Goyish name on Staros, surrounded by 11 green stars, looked through his telescope and saw a master unsuccessfully attempt to attract the get shichur after giving it to his shaliach, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Ha'omer ten get ze li'ishti, ushtar shichur ze la'avdi. One who says to his shaliach, give this get to my wife or give this get shichur to my slave, Remer holds imrasu lachsu b'shneim yachsu. If he wants to retract from either of them, he may retract because neither get takes effect until it reaches his recipient. The Chachamim partially disagree. B'gitei nashim avolo b'shichur yavadim. This is true regarding women's Gittin, but not regarding Gittin Shichur. They explain the distinction of Fisha Zakna Adam Shalob Bafanov, Vein Chavin Lo El Bafanov, because one may benefit another person even in his absence, meaning without his authorization, but one cannot disadvantage another person except in his presence, meaning with authorization. So the stargazer Kyle McDonald III, who liked to sign his distinct Goyish name on Staros, surrounded by 11 green stars, looked through his telescope and saw a master unsuccessfully attempt to attract to get Shichur after giving it to his shaliach. Next is someone who sees property for a balcho being told to give it back because it's a disadvantage to other balcho, which reminds us, Rav Huna and Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef once were sitting before Rav Yirmi, who was dozing. Rav Huna sought to deduce from the Chachamim's opinion, Hatofes lebalchov kana, one who seizes property for a creditor, the creditor acquires it. When Rav Yirmi awoke, he chided them that Rabbi Yochanan says, a creditor does not acquire property seized on his behalf when it disadvantages others, and explained the Mishnah's reason, Komer tenu ka'omer zachudami, anyone who says give is as if he says acquire it for the recipient. Thus, the shliach was instructed by the master to acquire the get for the slave. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which stuff do we learn? A kusi signature on a get is considered reliable when a Yisrael signed under it. That's on Daf Yud. Good. Number 2, which stuff do we discuss whether one can force a slave to work without feeding him? That's on Daf Yud Beis. Good. Number 3. Which of the one the Rebbe Shimon holds that a get signed by idolaters is valid because they are using Shemos Muvhakim, distinct Goyish names. That's on Dav Yadav. Good. Number four. Which have they learned that etching signatures is only permitted on a get for Edim who do not know how to sign? That's on Daf. Test. Good. Number five. Which stuff did we learn that one who cuts off his friend's slave's hand pays compensation and medical expenses to the master, and the slave is fed from stalka? That's on Daf. Yud Beis. Good. Number six. Which stuff did we learn it's enough for the shliach to hear the scratching of the sofer to testify the git was written lishma? That's on Daf. Vav. Good. Number seven. Which stuff did we learn Rabbi Meir's argument that freeing a slave causes him a loss of truma? That's on Daf. Yud Beis. Good. Number eight. Which daf do we have in Machlokes about retracting a get shichrur after handing it to the shliach? That's on Daf. Yidav. Good. Number nine. Which daf do we have in Machlokes about writing a get in a boat in the Mediterranean Sea? That's on Daf. Ches. Good. And number ten. Which daf do we discuss a tofes lebal chov, seizing property for a creditor, and that it doesn't work when it's going to disadvantage other bali chov? That's on Daf. Yidav. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Ram Goldham Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.